right, Islander fans, one quick programming note. If you're a fan of the Mets, Jets, Giants, Knicks, Rangers, or Islanders, you'll want to listen to all of our original podcasts, all in one place. Just subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. However, if you want to listen to just this podcast week by week, search SNY.TV Hockey, hit subscribe, and you'll be all set. And of course, as always, make sure to rate and review our channel. And here we go.
Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here are your hosts, Brian Compton and Mike Carver.
Michael, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, pal. How are you?
I'm doing great. 1 week away until opening night. Islanders and Rangers at the Garden. We're going to talk with Andy Graziano from Point Blank in just a few minutes. Matthew Barzal, you want to start with the forwards? Matthew Barzal's had an okay camp, Mike. I thought he was a shoo-in to make the team. Now I'm not so sure.
I don't think so either. Here's the problem. You got four guys, these four kids, and really probably only one of them is going to stay.
Agreed.
The thing about, you know, Dal Cole and Hosang is they can go to Bridgeport.
Yeah.
Which kind of puts the two of them, I think, on the way there.
Yep.
And then you got the other two guys. I don't know. Is there room for them? You see, you have that safety net with the two guys at Bridgeport that if you send the other two back to junior, you got those two guys when you get injuries or you need somebody. I think they're going back. He hasn't been. Listen, he's made plays.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. We've seen the skill. Has he been strong in the defensive zone?
No,
probably not. So that could be a reason that's going to send him back to Seattle.
We know how big Cappy is on these kids, making sure they know what they're doing in the defensive end, Mike. And it hasn't been the case for Barzal. However, it has been the case for Beauvillier. And not only that, he gets the overtime winner the other night against the Rangers at Barclays Center. I think Beauvillier is ahead of the pack right now.
I think so, too. Coming into camp, you would have probably put him fourth.
Yeah.
Out of the fourth.
Yeah, yeah.
But he stepped up, and the one thing that he's done that Barzal hasn't, he's shown that he can kill penalties.
Right.
He's shown that he can play in his own end. Seems like the kid is willing to do anything that it takes to make the team. Maybe he's edged a little ahead of Barzal in terms of staying with the team this year?
Yes, I would have to agree with that. And I think the other thing, too, Mike, is Beauvillier can play the wing or center. Barzal's a center.
Right.
I know that history has shown us that Cappy's not afraid to move guys out of position and play on the wing. We've seen it with Strome, so we'll see what happens with that. But for me, the fact that Beauvillier can play left wing and center and kill penalties, like you said, the projection that I've heard from people within the organization is that he is a offensive-minded Casey Cizikas, which has to have people excited. There's obviously going to be growing pains with these kids. We know that. But I think Beauvillier has moved ahead of the bunch right now.
He's moved ahead, but the other problem is him and Barzal, if they stay, they can't go to Bridgeport.
Right.
They can't then go back to juniors after nine games. You don't want them just sitting around, maybe getting scratched. Listen, being with the team's good all year, but we saw what this did to Niederreiter. This is why this scares the hell out of me to do this. If the kids maybe get into a slump and then Jack doesn't play him for seven, eight, nine games, and he's not playing at all except for practice in the morning with the team, is that really helping these two guys?
I think what helps Beauvillier, when you compare him to a guy like Nino, and I totally agree with what you're saying, Nino is in the same boat as Barzal, whereas he's not adjusted to the defensive style of playing in the National Hockey League yet.
Right.
Where I think Beauvillier can step in, play 12 to 14 minutes, and do an adequate job defensively. So that's obviously a big thing moving forward. I think right now Beauvillier is ahead of the bunch. Maybe he gets the nine-game look and then goes back to junior. Barzal, look, if he goes back to Seattle, he's going to get 100 points. He'll probably play for Canada at World Juniors, which does not hurt. But at the end of the day, Barzal is just at that stage where he's either going to be here and struggle or he's going to go to Seattle and get 110 points.
If I was a betting man right now, I'd say both are going back to juniors.
Okay.
I think that both might get the nine-game look.
Possible.
Obviously, they both won't play every night,
right.
But I think both will get a little taste. I think that an Arthur Staple wrote about this the other day. I think that if this is 3 or 4 years ago, there's a good chance that these two guys make the team.
No question.
But the problem is you've got too many guys now.
The organization has made strides, and they're not going to get 50
points. This is a team that's made the playoffs the last few years. This is a team that has some guys in the top nine forwards that aren't, you can't really maneuver right now. Right. I think that now I'm putting my money on it. They're both going back to junior. They might get a little taste, but I think at the end of the day, they both go back.
And I know Josh Hosang has had a very good camp, and I'm very happy for Josh.
He's obviously about the movie made last night on that end-to-end?
Thing of beauty. It was a thing of beauty. It really was, but we can't rush this kid. He's made huge strides mentally over the past 12 months. There's no question about that. But he's got to start the season in Bridgeport. It doesn't mean we won't see him at all. We're going to have injuries over the course of the season. But I think for now, he's got to go to Bridgeport.
I think that it's good for him to go to Bridgeport.
No
it's
question.
The next step up in playing right. class for him. He might destroy that step
he's
up
never
in playing
never played a pro
cash.
Game. Let him go tear it up in the A.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
You know, listen, injuries happen all the time.
Yes.
Somebody's going to get hurt. And if they need some offensive jolt and he's tearing it up down at Bridgeport, it's an easy call. Get in the cab and head him over.
Yeah.
You know, get him over the bridge.
Yeah.
That's
Put
it.
Put him on the ferry.
But that's okay. And having him there as a safety net is fine. I think it's good for him to get some experience at Bridgeport. He'll be there if they need him. Same thing with Dal Cole. These guys are the future.
Concerned
they're going to be
about
there.
Him, brother.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm not seeing.
So you've put him fourth out of these four in terms
he's
of four, what you've
he's
seen.
He's fourth of the four.
Right.
I don't even think it's close.
And he's drafted the highest out of the four.
He's a distant fourth. He really is. He's
wow.
got to be better 5-on-5. He's got to work on his skating. I don't think he's quick enough. I think it's a good thing that he's going to go to Bridgeport and work under Brent Thompson, who I think is a hell of a coach. But he's got a lot of work to do before he gets here.
I agree with you. Both will be at Bridgeport. I think both will do a good job. So really, I'm saying all four of these guys aren't going to be with the team. Maybe Barzal and Bevilier will at the beginning. But in terms of long term, I don't think any of the four, unless you get injuries where Hosang and Dal Cole can get in the mix then.
Totally agree. Where does Allen Quine fit in, Mike?
Allen Quine right now, I don't know where.
I think he's their extra forward.
I mean, between Quine,
who
Prince,
is he replacing?
Yeah, you see, that's the problem. Who's he replacing?
He's not a top six forward, right?
Is he a one-way or a two-way? What's Quine on?
A contract? He's on a one-way.
So he's got to clear waivers in order for, would he get picked up? After the playoff
possibly.
He had last year,
it's
you
possible.
Think somebody would
he's
take a shot
He's still young
on?
Enough. An organization might take a chance on
he's
him.
He's not in my 12 right now.
I think ideally he should be the number one center between Dal Cole and Hosang in Bridgeport. I just don't
I'd
know
I'd like
that's
that. I wouldn't have a problem with yeah. that. Because clearly they're going to keep who got hurt? Was it Gianta? Gianta got
Gianta,
hurt. So
yeah.
we'll see what happens there. They're going to keep Bernier again. I mean, let's be honest. It's
I
happening.
Don't think so.
He's the extra forward.
I think Bernier will ultimately – I agree with Arthur. Two-way contract. He'll be back and forth. He's not here full time. There's too many guys, Mike.
Know,
Shane Prince. There's just way too many players.
I think Quine would be, you're right. That would be nice seeing Quine maybe on the top line of Bridgeport. Be another guy that you have there if you need him.
Yeah.
He showed you something last year in the playoffs. I'd like to keep him with the organization.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So there you go. Hopefully
talk about
that
the
happens.
Blue line?
Let's talk about the blue line.
Adam
Mayfield stinks. All right, let's
I think
put that
he's
out
there. I think they're going to put him on waivers.
It's that serious.
They're
going to
pray that he goes through and he'll play top line minutes in Bridgeport.
He stinks. And if he didn't stink, they wouldn't have signed Seidenberg.
I don't know about
if
that.
He was
you
good,
always want another guy like Seidenberg.
If he was good,
room.
They wouldn't have signed Seidenberg.
All right.
That's my opinion. They brought in Seidenberg because Mayfield stinks. It's that simple to me.
I think it goes beyond that. But I agree that Mayfield hasn't had a great camp, and I think he's going to get waived. And if he makes it through, he makes it through. If he doesn't.
He's making it through. Why would any of the 29 clubs pick him up?
Arthur seems to
with
think
what
it's
he's seen,
what you're thinking.
With what everybody's seen of him. And listen, you know, I know I'm killing him a little bit here, but from what the other 29 clubs have seen, you really think he's going to get picked up by somebody?
Just because he's still young, it's possible.
Ah, come on.
But Arthur seems to think he would clear. So we'll see what happens with
have
that.
Have fun at Bridgeport.
Adam Pellick is going to go back to Bridgeport. I think this is great. I really do. He's going to play 25 minutes tonight in Bridgeport.
Not
it's better than being here and not playing.
And he can do that now with Seidenberg being here.
Yeah.
Because obviously you need to have a seventh defenseman with the team. Seidenberg is that now. That allows Pellick to go down and play 20 minutes a night at Bridgeport, 2022, whatever it is. Bridgeport sounds like it's going to have a pretty good team this year.
It should have a really good team. That's a good thing. It really is.
Bridgeport's going to be worth taking a trip up
to. You want guys acclimated to winning, Mike.
To the Harbor Yard to take a look at that club. They're going to be good.
No question. I'm getting a little bit of a sense here, Mike, that there's some concern about Pollock in his defensive zone.
I'm not concerned. I'm not.
I hope he plays. I think he needs to play just for the power play alone. But the fact that Seidenberg is here now, he's getting pushed here a little bit.
Puts some pressure
on him. He's got to do an adequate job in his own end of the ice. We know about the 105-mile-an-hour slap shot.
Yeah.
We know what he can do on the power play. But watching these guys at practice, Mike, P.A. Parent, though, is the guy who's been bringing in the puck, doing zone entries, replacing Franz on that right point. So, to me, that tells me Cappy may maybe not be ready to hand the keys to Ryan Pulock just yet.
Well, he's still young. Let's remember that. He's played, you know, what is it, 10 to 20 games in the NHL? We're in that kind of area.
15 games last year.
15 games.
Plus the six, you know, in the playoffs.
So about 20 games he's played in the National Hockey League. He's still got something to learn. There's no doubt about that. He'll learn that. I think that part of his game will happen.
Yeah.
He has the ability. I think he's going to be a Calder candidate this year.
I agree.
I really do. If he gets out there and he shows enough defensively, I think he'll put up enough points to be a Calder candidate. And he'll be good on that power play. But he only gets to reap the rewards of being on the power play if he can handle himself in the defensive
zone.
He
has to.
Because we know he can do it. We know that he can play on the power play.
I just want him to play, Mike. I don't want to go down this road again where we're sitting here week after week begging for Ryan Pulock to play. He's only going to get better by playing.
Right. And he's going to. I think he will.
I hope so.
He's going to get a crack at the beginning. We'll say that. Now he's got.
I hope so.
He's got a little shorter leash with Seidenberg being there now. But I think coming out of the gates, he's going to get the first opportunity to be in there every night and make things happen.
So you think he's in the lineup opening night?
Oh, he's in the lineup opening night.
I hope you're right.
He's in the lineup opening night. At the Garden, against the Rangers opening night, he's playing.
You think so?
Oh, he's in the lineup. If he's not, I got a problem.
Andy Graziano, Brian and Mike, how are you, buddy?
How are you guys?
We're doing all right. Ryan Pulock, is he in the opening night lineup against the Rangers next Thursday? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, you see, Andy, I don't know what BCOM's thinking here.
I like to get the fans antsy.
I don't understand.
But
Andy, come on.
Let me say this. I said this the other night as well. He hasn't really impressed me much, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think he still has some holes in the defensive zone. I think teams are going to really take away that shot like they did after the first couple of games when Johnny Boychuk first came here and was firing rockets from the blue line on the power play. You know, teams started shielding over that way to take that shot away. So for me, I don't think he's had a great camp. I think Adam Pellett is really only hurt by the fact that he's a lefty.
Right.
I think If Adam Pellett's a righty, I think he probably makes it over Ryan Pulock for me anyway.
Yeah, but you know, he's going to get a crack here, Andy. There's no doubt, and he's shown you enough on the offensive side. Listen, a guy with enough skill as him, he's going to get that shot off. He's going to find ways to make that happen. I know teams are going to try to take it away, but he will. He gives you enough, and he shows enough defensively in the first few games. He's going to stick, I think. He's going to play on a nightly basis. Obviously you want to get Seidenberg in there every once in a while, keep him fresh, and guys are going to get hurt. We know that. But I think that the kid's ready to go and rock every night.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much where Cappy is leaning. Again, for me, there's really been two things that have stuck out for me. I try not to place too much faith in the preseason. The younger guys are obviously trying to make an impression, and you kind of don't know if the veterans are kind of just going through the motions, some of them. But I think some veterans with something to prove I look at. And like take Ryan Strome, for example. I think Ryan Strome should have come in and absolutely blown the doors off.
Totally agree.
Especially given the fact that he's playing against, you know, borderline AHLers and guys on PTOs, because basically the NHL did away with the 8 veteran minimum for the preseason due to the World Cup this year. So he's facing even worse opposition, and he has been really, really bad. He still seems to be floating for me, not really getting involved. And, you know, you heard Jack Capuano said to us the other night after the Ranger game, he called Ryan out and basically said he still has a lot of work to do. He still has to pull him aside and talk to him about defensive zone assignments. Still, in his fourth season, he's got to still pull him aside and talk about D assignments.
Very frustrating. And, Andy, you what, we know about the $2.5 million for this year and next. Jack does not care. If Ryan doesn't get his act together with guys like Prince and Quine here, Ryan Strome's going to be watching games.
Or traded.
Wow. How about that, Mike?
I agree with you. Really, the guy, you keep talking, bringing the kid to the side and talking to him?
It's baffling.
Doesn't this guy figure it out by now when he got benched in the playoffs? He's got so much talent.
Really
I like
does.
Him so much more as a player than Brock Nelson, who, let's be honest, he's a stiff. But he's so much better than Brock Nelson if he would just get out. Defensive assignments? Kid, pick it up, please. Because guess what? You can trade him. You want to know why? Hossein can play.
Right.
Barzal could play. Bevilier could play. These guys are showing that they can play.
Prince, Quine, the guys that we
send
all
him home if he's not going to have defensive assignments. Give me a break.
Here. Andy, have you spoken to Ryan? Like, how do you gauge his attitude right now?
I've spoke to him the past 2 years. I haven't had a chance to speak to him this training camp yet. But the past 2 years, I hate to say this about him because I do generally, like him, and I don't want to put any false, notions out there. But he's always seemed to me to be a little maybe above the work that it might take to really succeed at this level. Like, for instance, if you look at a guy like John Tavares.
Right.
A guy with all this natural ability.
Who should be rubbing off on everybody.
Exactly. And then you look and you see and you hear about JT's ridiculous work ethic.
Yeah.
And then you look at a guy like Strome, and I just always got the feeling he was a little too lax for me. Lacking urgency would be the best way I can describe it. And I think at his age, he had to be talked to twice in camp last year, too, about effort. And for him to still, as Mike just said, still be having to be pulled aside to talk about D assignments is just it's not for me. And I'm kind of questioning, too, now at this point, the contract that you just mentioned, Tom. 1 year, $2.5 million. If they were to give him, it was a two-year
deal,
right?
Yeah.
Two and a half?
Yeah.
If they were to give him that kind of money, what took so long?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Let's get to these four kids, Andy, because they've some of them look good. B-Comp's a little down on Dal Cole. this is clearly the future here. I think Ho-Sang has had a great camp. The moves he made last night, the game wasn't on TV. Somebody tweeted out that one pick of him going from behind the net
like
to the
Bobby
other.
Bourne.
He didn't score. He's got a little Grabner in him. He's getting on these breakaways and not putting the puck in the net, but he'll learn that. Barzal's been good. Bevilier has clearly been possibly the best out of the four. I like what the four have done, Andy, but I don't think any of the four are going to be with the team. The two guys with juniors might get a little taste, but what do you think? Are these four? Any of these four guys going to be on the roster? Because I don't think so.
I think Ho-Sang and Dal Cole were kind of ticketed for Bridgeport from the start. I think Dal Cole needs to kind of grow into his body a little more and kind of learn how to use that size. Look, he was never known as a ridiculously fast skater, so
he's got to work at that, bro. That.
Exactly. Ho-Sang has been absolutely outstanding this camp. You've got to love the way this kid came in and totally took the bull by the horns after what happened last year and really put that behind him and used it as extra motivation to really come out and show that he's almost ready. He's almost ready. Barzal and Beauvillet, I think Beauvillet for me has been the most impressive.
Totally agree.
He's been absolutely outstanding, playing in all situations, covering his D-zone assignments, great, working on the penalty kill. He's got a real shot at probably him and Barzal, as you said, Mike, could get 9-game looks, especially if Prince starts the year on IR. You got Grabowski, obviously, who's going to be out potentially
forever.
Well, he's never playing again at this
point.
As far as I'm concerned, he's not even on the Islanders
anymore. He's never playing again. It's very unfortunate.
It sucks. I mean, it's too bad, but unfortunately, the guy's not even on the Islanders anymore.
So I think 9-game tryouts could be in line for both Barzal and Beauvillet. Do they stick? You send Barzal back to Seattle. He's got really nothing to prove at that level. Beauvillet might benefit from the last year in juniors. But, again, it's a tough call for Garth Snow. I think we're going to hear some cuts today. I don't think those two will be on the list. I think you could probably see Dal Cole and Ho-Sang today. They'll go right to Bridgeport and start mixing in with that training camp that's going on right now.
Andy, where does Alan Quine fit into this whole equation? Because he's on a one-way, too.
I know. And you know what, Brian? We you and I have talked about this, about all the one-ways that seem to plague this team at this point. You have to find a way to pass Scott Mayfield through waivers as well.
Right. Mike's not too concerned about that.
Andy, Mayfield stinks. He stinks. I'm sorry. Nobody's claiming him. You could put him through. Who's picking him up?
Probably nobody, Mike.
Nobody, period. Nobody's picking him up, Andy. Nobody.
He's a big defenseman. He's got to get more mobile and agile, and that's kind of what's keeping him back at this point is the skating. And obviously that's a big thing to keep him back if you're playing defense. But, I don't know. I'm not as down on Mayfield as that. I think there's still some potential there. I think when you're talking about the waivers, waiver eligibility right now, it's going to all be about timing. It's going to all be about Garth Snow trying to slip these guys through, maybe even J.F. Berube, trying to slip them through waivers at a time where the players on the list from other teams are much better and they kind of slip through unnoticed. I think it's going to all be about timing at this point for Gart Snow in sending Mayfield through and possibly Berube through. And as you said, Comp, you know, Kwan, I think, can play. Kwan, I think, could carve out a fourth-line role on this team.
No, Andy, I agree with you. The problem is if these kids make it, there's no room
right.
for them.
Exactly. And when's the last time we ever talked about this?
This is a good problem.
We were talking about this earlier in the show.
This is a good problem. 3 or 4 years ago, all these guys would have made the team. Andy, last one for me. You brought up Berube, the goaltending thing here. Are they going to do this charade again with the three guys? And I get it. Halak has played great. He was great at the World Cup. Clearly, he's pushed Greiss back aside, and he's going to be the number one. I don't like it. I think Greiss deserves to be the one. But it's a good problem to have. You have a lot of quality goaltending. Berube, you said they might try sneak him through. I think, are we getting to the point Halak only bellyache because he wasn't playing? Is he not going to bellyache with the three goalies if he is? What are they going to do with this mess? Because I could see it coming down the pike already.
You know, I think sooner or later, obviously, one of two things has to happen. You either have to try to slip Berube through or you have to make a trade.
Yeah.
And even if that trade is for a draft pick that you might have, you might have to settle for maybe not what you wanted originally to kind of clear this glut. You know, Jaro Halak, for me, is clearly the starter coming off his World Cup performance. Thomas Greiss is probably one of the best backups in the Metropolitan Division, if based on what he did last year. And J.F. Berube, you know, I love his attitude. I spoke to him the other night, and the kid is staying upbeat, staying positive. He's loving all the time he's getting in preseason with Halak and Greiss obviously being away for a large chunk of that at the World Cup. And, you know, he's kind of just taking it day by day. He said the other night that it's a situation that management's going to have to figure out for them. It's not something that he really enjoyed last year, having three. No, look, there's only two Nets in practice.
Exactly.
So I think sooner or later, sooner rather than later, it's got to get sorted out. And my opinion is initially they may go with the three at the start while Snow tries to kind of figure out if he can move Berube, in my opinion. Or, like I said, you try to pass him through waivers sooner rather than later. It's a tough call because I think of all the players that the Islanders have that are waiver eligible, he might be the hardest one to slip through.
Andy, here's the thing for me. I don't care if Jarl whines. I'm sure Cappy doesn't either. He's probably going to get his games if he stays healthy. Don't put J.F. Berube through another year of this. This is so unfair to this kid. He's good enough to play somewhere, even if it's Bridgeport. I would love if he clears waivers and goes to Bridgeport and plays 50 games. You know how much better the Sound Tigers are going to be if J.F. Berube's the number one goalie? So just make this work for this kid so he's playing somewhere. And if it's out of town, it's out of town. But don't put this kid through this again. It's not right.
I totally agree with that, Brian. I totally agree with that. And, you know, I really saw it the other night. And, you know, again, I'll go back to his demeanor and his attitude. Always upbeat, always positive. Always smiling, laughing with us, even when the cameras were turned off. And
you can't handle this better than he's handling it, right?
Absolutely. You have to love it.
All right, Andy. Thanks so much for a few minutes. We really appreciate it. I'll see you at the Garden next Thursday night.
Absolutely.
Thanks, brother.
All right, guys. Take care.
Andy Graziano. Check out his work at IslandersPointBlank.com. Mike, you think it helps that the Islanders are going to play the Rangers on opening night, bring out that intensity right away?
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I don't like it. Why not? I don't like these games like this early in the season.
You know, last year you were complaining that they had to wait 2 months to play these guys. Now it's opening night and you're upset.
I've changed my view. My opinion, all division games should be like after December 1st and on. That's it.
They don't play the Devils till like February.
That's the way it
should be.
That's
unbelievable.
No, I don't. I know. I flip on this all the time. I kind of like, I don't know. It's every game counts. I get it. There's 82 games, but I don't know. Opening night, Islanders, Rangers. I don't know.
Doesn't bother me.
I like it. I prefer let's get a couple months in. I kind of did like it last year.
Oh, now you liked it.
Now I liked it.
Jeez.
I'm sorry. I changed my mind on
this. Check out Rangers Blue Line with myself, Nick Okazie, and Adam Rotter. We're speaking with Jim Cerny this week. We're going to talk about training camp. Still a lot of roster decisions to be made there. To find the show, search SMY.TV Rangers in iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the channel. New radio deal for the Isles, Mike.
New radio deal for the Isles. They'll be on WFAN for 30 games. They'll
Huge.
Be on 970 AM, The Answer, for 52. You'll get the Isles on the fan, FM and AM, 101.9 and 660. It'll be nights, select nights, 30 games. I'm pretty sure the home opener is on WFAN.
All right.
They've got, because that's a Sunday night. Sunday at 6 o'clock, I believe, somewhere
around.
Home opener, yeah. That'll be on the fan. I know, and there's a few other good games that'll be on there. So this is good for the Islanders. It's good for exposure. Great to see.
Boomer and Carton doing a game.
They'll do
that?
The Pittsburgh game in mid to late November. I forget the date. They've done the last few years a net game on WFAN, and it's been a lot of fun. So Boomer and Craig will do a Islander-Penguin game in mid to late November at the Barclays Center. I forget the date off the top of my head.
I think Boomer's going to do a terrific job as the analyst. Yeah. I'm not so confident in Craig.
Craig, he has fun. Being obviously full disclosure, I used to work for WFAN. Right. I still work for CBS Radio. Craig, he did a real nice job. I worked those nights in the shop at the studio where they've done the net games on the radio. And listen, is it conventional? Play by play. No, but it's
different.
A lot. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it is pretty funny when those two guys do the game. This will be a little different for Boomer because he knows the game
exactly.
of hockey really well.
I think he's gonna do a really
good job. And that'll be a lot of fun. And they'll have a good time with it, so it'll be cool.
And this is great exposure for the Islanders.
It's huge.
And it's great for Chris King, our friend of the show here, who does
happy
a terrific
for Kinger.
Job.
Yeah, great for Kinger.
And they actually had some playoff games on FAN last year, right?
They had a couple. We had a few on nights when there wasn't any baseball on, things like that. It's great, and hopefully there'll be playoff games again in April and May. So it's all good stuff for the Islanders. Anytime you want to put that exposure up, it's good. I think this is a good thing.
What do you want to see over this last week of the preseason, Mike? I want to see Barzal pick up his game a little bit. And as we were speaking with Andy a few minutes ago, Ryan Strome's got to pick his you-know-what up.
This 2 weeks ago when we came back. The main thing for me in preseason is that guys stay healthy.
Yeah, for sure.
And they've done that
for the most part.
They are healthy.
A few dings.
A few dings
serious.
Here, but for the most part, they're healthy. And that is the main thing. When you get out there next week in the Garden, you have a full healthy roster. You don't lose key pieces in training camp. It's a win, and as long as they can continue that over the next week, they're going to be just fine when they start the season next week.
And get this goaltending situation sorted out.
The goaltending situation does have to be taken care of because, seriously, I think it could be a problem. Halak's going to play opening night.
Yes, he is.
Okay, we've got it.
Yes.
All right.
And
I
should.
It's not that I don't like Halak. He's a very good National Hockey League goaltender. I just felt that Greiss did enough in the playoffs last year and at the end of last season that he deserved a shot to be a number one goalie.
Listen.
And the trade wasn't there. I get it. Halak, now, if Halak would have played last year and you saw the kind of stuff you saw from in the World Cup, maybe there would have been a suitor at the draft for him. Maybe something like that would have happened, but then we wouldn't have seen Greiss play.
Exactly. And I don't care what anybody tells me. They are not beating Florida without Thomas Greiss. I'm sorry.
No, him and Tavares.
Greiss
won that
was otherworldly in that series. It's not a knock on Yarrow. He probably would have played pretty well.
Right.
But Thomas Greiss was ridiculous.
No question. Him and Tavares were the reason they won that series. There's no doubt about it. So we'll see what happens. And it looks like unless Berube, they try to squeeze him through and somebody claims him. I mean, if the Islanders are so high on him, I'm sure there's another club in the league that is, right?
I would think so.
Unlike Mayfield, who will not get picked up
by anybody. If he gets claimed. Just let him play somewhere, Mike.
He needs to play.
We will be back Tuesday. We want to be back in the studio before opening night. We'll be back Tuesday.
Can't wait.
Thanks to Andy Graziano. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.